All this summer, we've been catching up with the five keepers of the city's past, the historians in charge of studying and preserving the stories of New York's neighborhoods, all for no pay. This week, in our fourth installment, WNYC's Kathleen Horan takes the ferry to Staten Island to meet its historian.
All passengers must depart the ferry at this time.
An informal poll of the many people crammed on the ferry reveals that few of them know much about the island.
Is there anything that you're wondering about Staten Island?
I have no idea what's here.
Glenda Mullen from Wisconsin just got off the boat and is walking around the ferry terminal looking bewildered.
I didn't really see anything, you know, what there was to offer here, which they could, maybe market that a little better.
Glenda, meet Thomas Mateo.
Well, actually, we do a fair amount of marketing.
The Staten Island Borough historian has actually helped devise island tours, including one near the terminal in the St. George area.
I would certainly walk up to the Staten Island Museum for sure. They have some wonderful exhibits. Then from there, she can walk up one block to the Borough Hall. And in the lobby of the Borough Hall, which is open to the public, are some beautiful murals.
Mateo is a kind of one-man marketing team for his misunderstood borough. He was born in Brooklyn, but has lived on Staten Island since he and his wife moved there in the 70s. The 62-year-old looks relaxed in his straw hat and puka shell necklace as he drives his black convertible PT Cruiser up a hill.
Does it remind you of San Francisco? I tell you, there are different parts of Staten Island that will remind me of different parts of the United States. There are some areas I'll drive into where you don't believe you're in New York City. There's this one beach colony left, and you drive beyond the gates, and you would think you're in Nantucket.
Mateo has traveled diverse terrain in his career, too. He majored in biology, has two masters in education, and got his doctorate in administration. He spent more than 30 years in government, including executive posts in the city's transportation department, at juvenile justice, and at OTB. He now teaches business and is the official historian of Staten Island. And in his free time, he's a scrimshander, a decorative carver of whalebone and ivory.
Now we're driving back in time. We're going to be turning into Seaview.
He drives down a long, private, woodsy driveway into the landmarked campus of Seaview, the former home for tuberculosis patients. At one point, over 2,000 patients lived here.
One of the cures was thought to let out all the bad air so they would collapse lungs and do other types of surgery. It was done right in that building.
Then the place fell into disrepair.
Now this building here, you see, has been renovated. If you look to your left, that's what it looked like.
Now there's a ballet studio in the former morgue, a community center in the old Catholic church, and a senior citizens' residence. Up the stairs in the back of the former administration building is Mateo's wood-paneled office. Classic photographs of Staten Island hang on the wall, and old documents cover his large desk. He says he became passionate about the history of the island when he was chief of staff for the Staten Island Charter Commission in the early 90s, when the borough was trying to secede from the city. That's right. Staten Island wanted to break up with New York.
They felt that it had been a forgotten borough. It felt that a lot of its taxes were going to support the subways and bridges and infrastructure, most of which is not on Staten Island. A lot of the roads on Staten Island are not capitally built.
65% of the island voted in favor of it at the time, but the state assembly said it would have to be decided on in a referendum that never happened. Mateo says it could have worked.
Financially, I think we could have survived as a separate city. I think we would have been the second or third largest city in all of New York State.
Inspired by his work with the Charter Commission, he ended up writing four books on Staten Island history.
It's a very special place, and it's hard to put the words down in writing that convey the feeling. When I was writing Staten Island Then and Now, I met a lot of wonderful people. There's one story about it. I went to somebody's backyard, and I said, listen, there's a shot I want to take through your backyard. Do you mind? He says, no, come on in. If you take your picture, sit down, we'll have a beer.
He says after the fun of writing the books, when the borough historian position became vacant, he tossed his hat into the ring to be the fourth to hold the post. One of his predecessors, Loring McMillan, held his job for a record-breaking 65 years. But the borough president had something else in mind when he appointed Mateo 3 years ago.
He said that he was going to appoint me for a 10-year position. And his feeling was that you needed to have fresh blood. I think there's a great value. When you talk about historians, you think about old men and dusty archives with, you know, patches on their elbows. My job is not only to preserve history, but also to try and encourage other people.
Mateo has been encouraging others to start writing the history of their own communities. In time for next year's 350th anniversary of the first permanent European settlement on Staten Island. And in the meantime,
come out. come out and see what it's like out here.
For WNYC, I'm Kathleen Horan.
If you'd like to post a question for the borough historian, or watch a video with a mini tour of the island, view pictures, or find out more about the oldest cricket team on Staten Island, log on to our website, wnyc.org/history.